This is Snowman in the Morning.
Hadouken!
Where true sports talk lives.
He did what?
I did not need to be told that.
Well, we continue on this episode of Snowman in the Morning, and I've expanded my guest bank. And to really expand my guest bank, first of all, let me thank Steve Joyner. And second, let me welcome a very talented musical artist who's inspiring change. His name is Jean-Pierre Giannoli, and I hope I got that right. And he joins me right now. How are you, my friend? Good to talk to you.
I am doing well. Thank you for having me. And yes, great on the name. You did fantastic.
I got to tell you, I practiced it. I wanted to be sure that I got it right. Mr. Giannoli joining me right now. What kind of current projects you got going on right now, man?
So the biggest thing right now, obviously, because of the quarantine, a lot of stuff is still shut down in Hollywood and L.A. because I am an actor, rapper, comedian, impressionist, producer. I do lots of stuff. Also a paranormal investigator. So I definitely do a lot of things, especially when the world's not shut down like it is right now.
Yeah.
With the quarantine, I've definitely been spending a lot more time writing a lot of jokes. Definitely I want to get back into stand-up a lot more once I'm able to, obviously once things change up a little bit with that situation. But in the meantime, because I love music so much, as you kind of mentioned on the intro, a lot of my focus is on that. I have three albums in the works right now. One is done and recorded. I'm releasing in the fall. I just released a single on Friday. That's on all major platforms. Spotify takes a while, so I don't think it's on Spotify yet, but it should be on Spotify any day now.
That is fantastic. A Renaissance man that stays busy. In looking at the bio you sent me, there's something that I want to touch, and it's going to be it's very, very personal, but an interesting aspect of your story, as you wrote to me, was you were severely abused by your family growing up, and it just recently escaped them. What set you free? What got you out of there?
It was a lot. I think you get to a certain point in life where you start noticing you're doing things that don't make you happy, whether it's a career you chose, a job you chose, just not focusing your energy in areas you want to. So that was definitely a huge part of it. I worked at a company for 10 years, which was soul sucking. It undervalued, underpaid, underappreciated. And, you know, it's comfortable because abuse, you become comfortable when you're abused most of your life.
Oh, yeah.
And those environments are so familiar to you, you just kind of stay with it. You accept that kind of treatment. And I did the same working for the company I worked for 10 years. That kind of started the ball rolling for me. So I auditioned for something at this company to play a character. I went for a fitting and a body scan for the costume and everything. And it was kind of revitalizing my excitement for the job. So I was going to do something different. 2 weeks went by after I did the fitting and I heard nothing. So I went to my management and I just asked them like an adult, like anybody would. Oh, hey, you know, I've never done this before. I want to know, like, if I'm going to hear back or, you know, should I be expecting something? Like, I'm not sure. And the main manager that I was told to talk to became almost incoherent. He was just like, I actually don't deal with it. And I'm at that moment, like, I literally, and I already had very little respect for management at that company anyway. But at that moment, I had realized, like, who these people were as a company, especially when it came to the management. So he pushed me over to another manager next to him who was the supposed trainer for the entertainment department. So he pushes me to that guy who's luckily right next to him. And I go, oh, yeah. So same question. Yeah, I was just wondering how, you know, again, still remaining calm, professional, adult. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm mature enough to understand things, especially by what I think it was 35 at the time, 34. Yeah, 35, which I'm 36 now. I just turned it last week. So anyway. The other trainer, other manager who's a trainer, kind of did the same thing. You may or may not hear back. Da, da, da. And in that moment, I realized this wasn't for me. The treatment was too much. I worked, and I don't care, I'll mention the company. I worked for Disneyland in California for 10 years. And I switched around a few departments, got into entertainment, was looking for do more acting, more performing type of stuff, and it didn't really work out that way. There's a lot of politics, no surprise there.
None at all.
But very sad to see that they claim to be such a family-oriented, creative company, but they stifle creativity at every point and basically tell you, like, if you come up with anything here, it's our property. We're going to take it from you, and we don't have to give you credit and all kinds of stuff. I mean, just that kind of mentality they have. I felt like I put so much effort in my job because I enjoy – I'm a people person, so it wasn't the worst job in the world, but it definitely was bad treatment. I mean, I had to threaten the labor board in legal action five times against the company, five times each against the company in the 10 years I worked there. So that tells you a little of the kind of company they actually run like compared to what they present as. But anyway, that day that I had that talk with management, I decided what my last day was and I was quitting. I was like, I can't do this anymore. You know, my wife had worked for the company for a little while too, a little less than I did. She quit to go back to school and I stayed for a few extra years. I really wanted to support my wife and help her get back to school and go after her dreams. And she really inspired me to want to quit, go after my dreams too. So I literally, the day I decided to quit, 2 days later, I got a call and it was for the movie Ford versus Ferrari. I didn't know that was the name at first. They had, you know, like a side name, but they just called it a period movie. And yeah. I really focused more on music and stand-up comedy in the last 5 years up to that point. I wasn't doing a lot of acting, maybe indie films, friends projects and stuff. But yeah, I said yes to that. Ended up turning into a really big thing. I got featured. I did tons of scenes with all the major actors and shot for 2 months on that movie. And that definitely, as an actor, gave me a huge confidence boost to be directed by James Mangold, all that kind of stuff. So it set up what I call like a domino effect of positivity in my life, where I quit my job. There was concern because I wasn't like set up for another job or anything. I just was like, well, I heard I might get a callback for this movie, so I'm just going to hope that that comes through, which it did, which was, you know, nice. But I also DJ on the side, so I did, you know, different events and stuff after I quit. So, you know, I was making a little income on the side with that as well. But I was able to focus on my creativity, getting my mixing and mastering skills down for music. And it was just a progression of little jobs that turned into bigger things. And then a big factor was my younger brother got a girlfriend who was very blunt. And she bluntly said things about our abuse that really, to use language and verbiage, that really let us see it and accept it for what it was. Because our grandmother, who was our abuser, old school Italian woman, very narcissistic and abusive and controlling, manipulative. We were never able to view her as bad. Like, you couldn't, the way she presented herself and created herself as this kind of like figure in the family. But when somebody on the outside was so blunt, it really, so the end of 2019 was when I completely cut my family off, because my grandmother abused us severely. I mean, not only verbally, I got a few years of savage beatings because, you know, I didn't want to do what she said. I was growing up, becoming a man, going to college, having my own passions and careers and friends. And
you weren't allowed to have your own passions and careers.
Exactly.
You weren't allowed to have your own passions and careers. Oh, boy, I know that story.
Yep. So, if she didn't like it, you couldn't do it almost. That was kind of the mentality. Like, well, that's not, you need to just do this and that. It's like literally stifling you as a person. So,
it stifles you. And what people don't realize, and I've spoken about this on my show, it stifles you as a man. Let's just go ahead and say it the way it needs to be said. Okay,
100%.
A lot of people think I'm rolling the dice when I speak of this subject, but this is very passionate to me because I went through an abusive relationship some 4 years ago before I met my wonderful wife. It stifles you as a man, period. It stifles 100%. You as a man.
100%. Yes, definitely agree with that. Because it's a weird place to be in, you know, especially as a man being abused by a female. Because in our society, the way our, and I would call it toxic masculinity, to not let men express themselves in any way they feel appropriate. Because I think for me, expressing myself with music and comedy and all that, that saved my life.
Yeah.
I went through depression and suicidal thoughts and all kinds of horrible things because of what I went through, and it made me feel like I wasn't worthy and I couldn't achieve anything because of what my abuser said and did. So
know it well.
Definitely 100%. But in that sense, there's the light at the end of the tunnel of I never gave up, even with her constantly berating me and putting me down for everything I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And And then getting away and changing my life literally changed my life. So there's the positive light is where I'm at now. My life is incredible.
Yeah. And that's such a wonderful thing, because when you get to the end of the tunnel, when you get to that light at the end of the tunnel, folks, there's just so much more that you can do. One of the first things after I met my wife 2 years ago, one of the first things she said to me, she looked me in the eye and said, "I want you to chase your dreams." And I looked at her and I went, "What?" And she goes, "I didn't stutter. I said, I want you to chase your dreams as a sportscaster and as a sports talk host." What she got me to realize, and I'm realizing this now, it's like you, when you broke free from your abuse and from your past, I wasn't organized in putting all this together. I hadn't talked to the right people. I hadn't been around the right people. And since she's been in my life, we've been married a year now. Since she's been in my life, she's like, she'll run ideas by me. And the strangest thing, and I say this partially sarcastically, but man, if you're listening, you know what I'm about to say. She runs ideas by me to help me improve. And I listen. And I start thinking about how I handled it before. And you know what? 99.99% of the time, she's dead on right.
Nice. Yeah, no, definitely. And I have to give a shout out to my wife. I mentioned her earlier. She's not the biggest fan of the entertainment industry, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Not only our government, but our entertainment industry is filled with, it seems like, a bunch of pedophiles and sexual predators. I mean, that's just the reality of what power and money can do in this country, it seems like. Regardless of that, I can't help but be creative and an artist. It literally burns within my soul. It's my passion. It's what I love. But she's never discouraged me from my ambitions and my passion. She's always built me up when I was down and depressed about, you know, I'd get like a big gig and then quiet for a long time and really down and upset about it.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, you know, look at all the stuff you've accomplished at your age. Most people haven't accomplished half of you accomplished. But I think too much, and that happened a lot in my abuse, was I was always compared to other people. Oh, you got your degree, but you're not making this much money. Oh, you're doing this, but look at this person has that. And you do this comparative thing that destroys you as a person. Never compare. We are all individuals. Like when I was younger, I was big in freestyle rapping and battling. I used to go up and freestyle battle, and sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. Either way, I usually got respect because I could hold my own as an MC and a rap artist. But now that I'm older, I have such a different philosophy of life. Competition doesn't really make sense to me, because if we're truly individuals, you can't compete. You know, you can't have my essence just like I can't have your essence. So I don't really believe in competition in the way that most of humanity does, only because I think it actually deters us from being our best selves when we're trying to be someone else. Yeah. You know, I just want to try to be better than me yesterday, not whoever else's. You know, I feel like I've learned that we all have our own paths. And they take different lengths of time and different turns and different, you know, strategies to get there. So,
man, one of the most talented artists that I've had on the show in the years that this show has been active. You can find him online at mcpierre.com. His social media handles are talented. I hope I read that right.
And yeah, if you're talented with the extra ED, because I do so much. That's kind of my brand.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And if you're into paranormal, check him out at paranormaldetectives.org. This is John Pierre Giannoli. And man, it's a thrill and a delight to have you on. And I'd love to have you on again.
Yeah, definitely. Fantastic. Sounds great. Appreciate you having me as well.
Man, we keep the interviews rolling. Got a talented actress coming your way next. Snowman in the Morning, back in a flash.